walked in. Has anyone not got a card? Because that's important for the vote. If you haven't, there will be cards, as I speak now, there will be cards which can come to you to make sure that you have an equal voice in what happens in the next 75 minutes. We have a motion, which is that freedom of expression is in imminent danger. It's not for me to interpret this at all. We have lots of views in this House. How much can either side change your mind? That's what the aim of this evening is. I'm not here to give you a view, despite what Iris has just said. I'm here to moderate in an impartial manner that allows all sides to be heard and all points of view to be put, whatever they are. And it's not just about India. It's about whatever you choose to talk about. So, construe nothing into how I choose to ensure order and rhetorical light during this debate. Everyone in this House has a right to full expression, freedom of expression. That's after all what we're talking about, except me. I must give you no idea of my views. We may need a measure of success, and that could be done by seeing your views now on what you think of this motion, and then we will reflect afterwards. And I have four invigilators here. Let me tell you that for the motion is blue, against the motion is orange. I'm going to take a view, which is that large numbers of you are for the motion. And the challenge now is to see if on this side they can persuade you with the blue cards to change it to orange in the next 73 minutes. So that's where we are. The speakers have been introduced. The format is this. The first proposer will speak for 7 minutes. The first opposer will speak for 7 minutes. Then the second proposer will speak for 7 minutes. And the second opposer will speak for 7 minutes. Then I will open the floor for half an hour, and anyone of you can speak. I would like to get those for and against, one after the other, for one against the other. And then at the end, we will have a minute of summing up from each of the four speakers here, and it will be done in reverse order. Now, I hope you feel that is freedom of expression. You could possibly be here all night, but I will be, if you don't mind, quite ruthless about if I feel that you're going to talk and talk and talk. Freedom of expression does not mean freedom to keep speaking. So bear that in mind. And there are microphones around, and I will therefore go 1, 2 to make sure the microphone has moved before the first person speaks. So please see it in that light. Everything is clear, we're now underway, and I'm going to ask Sudendra Kulkarni, first of all, to speak for the motion. The floor is yours for 7 minutes.
Oh, thanks. I don't know which side will win this debate, but if you go by the look of the four talking heads, the bald has already won the contest.
Don't assume anything.
Anupam Kherji and my friend, old colleague, Naleen Kohliji, have already adopted the credo, bald is beautiful. Now I have also joined them, although under entirely different circumstances. Coming to the topic. Freedom of expression is indeed in danger, but I would like to make my stand clear right at the outset that this issue should not be seen solely through the prism of party politics. If we politicize it, we may not be able to understand the issue in its right perspective. For example, if you're going to debate the ban on meat, we should remember that as many as 24 out of 29 states in India already had for many years a ban of varying degrees, and
This ban was not imposed by the BJP governments. Yet, it is indeed a fact that an atmosphere of intolerance in the country is growing. This ought to be a matter of concern for all Indians, irrespective of their political affiliations, persuasion. If those in the ruling party and the government think that this is a figment of their opponent's imagination, they are badly mistaken. It would be sheer self-deception and dangerous self-deception that if they continue to respond to this situation in denial mode. A very senior minister in the government described the act of certain writers referring to the law as a manufactured revolt. The Minister of Culture made a basically uncultured statement asking the writers first to stop writing on Tibade anyway. The president of the ruling party said that if there is any perception of intolerance, it is limited to Indian settings. I don't know when Mumbai, where Gujarat Sahib lives, became geographically a part of Indian settings. Of course, writers returning their awards are now joined by artists, filmmakers, and journalists. To think that all of them have chosen to join an artificial reward plotted by some anti-BJP forces is to delude oneself. It is an insult to the intelligence of millions of Indians. It is to belittle the barbaric nature of the crime of lynching to death an innocent person, Mohammed Akhlaq, by a mob on a manufactured rumor that he had slaughtered a cow and consumed meat. This one single incident, friends, has made the Muslim community in India feel insecure. It's also assault on their dignity. Of course, it has also outraged a majority of Hindus and people belonging to other non-Muslim communities. And since we are in Mumbai, to dismiss people's concern over intolerance is to turn a blind eye to the manner in which the Shiv Sena routinely takes a law in its own hands and resorts to vandalism and violence on various issues, and most particularly to impose their unlawful ban on Pakistani people in Mumbai and Maharashtra. The Prime Minister, his ministerial colleagues, and his colleagues in the party, ruling party, should ask themselves a simple question. Why has the President of India, the custodian of our constitution, deemed it necessary to express language about growing intolerance in the country thrice in a span of 1 month? Why did Pranab Mukherjee express his lament by asking questions, is tolerance and dissent on the will? Why did Rashtrapati have to remind the countrymen that tolerance and diversity have been the core value of our civilization for over 5,000 years? Why? Friends, I will end my initial remarks by urging the Honorable Prime Minister to take 3 steps to change the prevailing atmosphere of intolerance in the country. First, he should invite the writers, artists, filmmakers and scientists who have returned their awards to the Prime Minister's residence and have a frank discussion. He must give a firm assurance to the people of India that his government is committed to safeguarding the freedom of expression and other freedoms enshrined in our constitution. Second, the Prime Minister must especially assure the minorities that their security and their dignity is the government's moral and constitutional duty. Thirdly, and this is very important, friends, the Prime Minister must unequivocally state that he disapproves of all this loud outcry for making India a Hindu Rashtra. He must also declare that the concept of Hindu Rashtra violates the principle of secularism, which is part of the basic structure of the Indian constitution. The last point about Hindu Rashtra is important because a lot of concern among Indians, not just minority but also majority of Hindus, are centered around this issue of Hindu Rashtra. There is a growing suspicion that the BJP and its supporting organizations are pursuing an agenda to transform